Valerie Harper is coming to town in April to do a three-day weekend at the fabulous Fox Theater in her one-woman show, Golda's Balcony, story of the life of Golda Meir. You know Valerie from her years on TV as Rhoda Morgenstern and several other last names along the way, and for several movies and TV appearances, Sex and the City and lots of other things. And I'm happy to welcome her here to the Paul Harris Show this afternoon. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Paul. It's really lovely to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. We'll talk about the TV stuff later. I'm fascinated by the show, and I'm actually going to come see you and bring my daughter. Because
how old is she?
She's 11 and a half now.
Yeah, that's good. That's just about it. That's good because there's lots of history in it, and she'll probably like the special effects and the bomb war noises. But we say over 10 is probably good. So she's going to be great.
Yeah, I think she.
You take her lots of places. It sounds.
I do, and it's important for me as a dad to show my daughter that there were women who were role models before the 80s, 70s, 60s, going all the way back to
right.
You know the 50s, 40s, 30s. Golda Meir was a hero in, or I guess heroine would be the correct word.
No, or hero's good, or Hera.
Either way.
You know what, Paul? Heroine kind of sounds like she's saved by the hero.
Yeah, that's
but we
true.
Just say Golda was absolutely heroic in her life, and her life kind of chronicled the history of the Jewish people in the 20th century. So historically, she's one of the towering figures of the 20th century, male or female. And what's so interesting is she did it at a time when the doors were really closed to women, but she just battered them open and did what she needed to do.
Did you know her history before taking the play on?
Yes, because I'm older than you, and I lived in New York, and I was aware of her, and she was constantly on the news because she was at the UN, you know, as foreign minister. She was, you know, coming to town. She came to town in the, you know, 70s as prime minister, but I was during the 60s, and also from my feminist work in the 60s, we had a poster of Golda's unmistakable face, nose, not a funny gray hair and a wee bun, not a stitch of makeup, craggy, elderly grandma, and under it it said, "But can she type?" It was a feminist poster in all the Now chapters that I frequented.
I like that. Now, if we were to take you with no makeup, you would look nothing like Golda Meir with no makeup. So, how long does it take for that transformation to occur?
About 45 minutes now, maybe less. I have a wonderful, wonderful wig, a lady that takes care of the wig. She puts on a prosthetic nose. The nose is only good for one performance, or on matinee days, I leave it on between shows.
You do?
It's the fellow that designed it does all the work for 18 years, Lou Zakarian, for Saturday Night Live. And he does, you know, those fast changes sometimes. So he designed, and we went on the road with 200 noses to be used up over our tour, and certainly in St. Louis. So I'll be using three for St. Louis.
Yeah.
Now Friday night, two Saturday, and two Sunday.
At what point in the evening or in the afternoon for a matinee do you mentally change from Valerie Harper to Golda Meir?
I try very hard. You know, I prepare off stage, of course, and now we're in our 12th week. By the time we get to you guys, I will have been doing it for, you know, a matter of months, like 3 months of performances. So I've really got it so I can kind of dip down into her and, you know, get the voice. And I listen to her voice still. I watch her on tapes in my dressing room or in the hotel room. I still am finding new areas to, you know, keep Golda present at all times. It's not an impersonation because this is more of an acting. I want to show her inside the conflict, the tremendous sorrow and joy and extraordinary challenges of her life and what she did as a human being on the earth. And so I guess by now it's nice to sit quietly and get the makeup put on for me instead of putting it on myself, and that kind of serves as a preparation.
But is there a transitional moment where you're at like the side of the stage right before you go on, and you turn to the guy in your Valerie voice and say, "Okay, I'm going out now," and then you walk out on stage and boom, now you're Golda, or does that happen earlier?
Now I know the play so well, and I can kind of immerse myself in the set. And when I take the first puff of her cigarette, because she had a, and I don't smoke, I'm faking an inhale.
Oh, how hard is that?
What?
How hard is that?
It's not. You just have to. I have to be very careful because if I inhale and start coughing, I've screwed up the opening of the show.
Mm.
Although I would just cough because the show starts. She's quite old, and then there's all kinds of wonderful flashbacks. We've got big screens with images of whoever I'm talking about historically. That's why I think your little girl would be able to follow because it's so interesting visually, and I transform not in my looks at all. I've got one of her sensible suits on, a gray one, and her wig, but she's telling the story, and she becomes the other people. So there's about 44 different characters in the evening as Golda remembers them. So it's an interesting way that it has been directed, and there's about all kinds of lighting cues and live action on the computer screens behind me, three huge screens that are disguised. Because you think it's a whole wall of ruins in Israel. It looks like Jerusalem stone and a Star of David and this kind of thing. And you think, oh, this is going to be interesting, and a little table in the middle. But then embedded in that wall are these three major screens for people to follow along and be delighted by the design of our artistic team. It is the Broadway show, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Same designers have designed this, except for lighting, which was Jeff Kreuter. But it's really a terrific, terrifically interesting, because when she's talking, most of it takes place during the 73 war and the conflicts and the challenge and the deep trouble that Israel was in. I mean, really, it's all very survival was on the block during that war. And then when you step off the platform and the lighting changes, you're back in memory when Golda's 30 or she's 4 years old or she's 17, and you get her story without me sitting there all night in a chair talking.
So you include the years when she was a kid growing up in
Milwaukee? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, her American years, because much of her is American. That was her speech pattern. She had a Midwestern kind of no-nonsense, shoot it from the hip, straight at you. This is what I think. I don't have to be rude, but I'm going to tell you. I'm going to lay it on the table like it is. We got to plow the North 40. It's got to be done. I mean, there was a marvelous Midwestern, clear-eyed, no-frills way about her, and I think that her years in America absolutely fed the glorious life that she led. And when I say glorious, I mean, it was a tough one, but she held the line, and her belief in justice and the lack of prejudice. When she arrived here, her family was almost killed in Russia because they were Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So to arrive in Milwaukee and be welcomed to the school, a Yiddish-speaking little kid, by these wonderful teachers who kind of saw light in this little girl and helped her along, and those years, 8 years to 23, they're very formative. And that's why her American heritage lives in her, although she went in 1921, and never really came back to live. That was her home. She knew that Palestine was her home and the home of the Jewish people, and then helped bring it into being. It's quite an amazing story and an interesting history.
From pogrom to prime minister is quite an adventure.
And Milwaukee on the way.
Yeah. Is your Golda anything like Tova Feldshuh's Golda? I know she originated the role on Broadway.
Tova Feldshuh, a wonderful actress, did it on Broadway for a year and 3 months, and she'd done it 4 months before that in a little theater downtown. So Tova had her own, way of doing the part, and I saw her in February not knowing I was going to do it. And then a month later, I got the call, would you like to take the tour? Tova has a high schooler this year that's a senior, and she didn't want to leave without, the college search and being there for graduation. She did not want to sign on for the tour. So she played just L.A. and San Francisco.
And then passed the
tour. They asked me to. Patty Duke was set to do it.
Oh.
And then that did not work out for Patty's schedule or whatever, And then they just called me out of the blue and said, I happen to have seen it. It's wonderful. And I just started making my performance from Golda's tapes, Paul, from listening to her voice, listening to her speeches, listening to things as far back as the 50s, some radio programs that are very helpful for the way she thinks and her sense of humor in her. And then I've read her books. I've read 10 books about her, and I've gone to lots of Jewish history museums, the Museum of Tolerance here, and I've seen an awful lot of footage and actual shows. Civilization and the Jews is a great PBS piece, and Shoah is a wonderful 9-hour, one of the most, it's a really life-altering experience if you watch the 9 hours.
It's a remarkable documentary.
Oh, my God. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
I had to see it over a period of nights because I was just, it was so overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not Jewish, so I wanted to be sure that I was accurate as I could be. My friend Ron Rifkin, who's an actor, he's an alias. He plays Sloan,
yep.
The head of the CIA.
Yep.
A brilliant New York actor. I've known him for 40 years. He happens to speak Yiddish fluently and Russian Yiddish like Golda would have. So I learned Yiddish from him, and he taught me Kaddish, which is the Jewish prayer for the dead.
Right.
It is said at every funeral. And he taught me that. And I say part of it in the show, just a section of it. And then my other friend, Zvi Almog, fought in the 48 War. He's from Westport, Connecticut, a dear friend of mine, married him, Penny. So it's so funny. My other girlfriend married 40 years ago, married Ron. So my friends, Iva and Penny, who I danced on Broadway with and became friends and stayed friends, they offered up their husbands as technical advisors for Golda's Balcony.
Wow.
One for the Hebrew and one for the Yiddish, which are quite distinctly different. So Svi helped me, and he knew all these generals. He told me stories about them. Everyone that's mentioned in the show, he knew them personally because Israel is so tiny. And if you were there fighting in the 48 war, you knew, like he calls Ariel Sharon, he always calls him Arik, because that's what everyone in Israel calls.
Mm-hmm.
And the shoes I wear, an Israeli came to the show in Philadelphia and said, I loved your shoes, and even her swollen legs, because she had phlebitis. I have padded legs as well as a padded body and, you know, the ample bosom and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the shoes are those, we call them granny shoes. You know, the black tie.
Oh, I know them.
He said, you know what we call those? They're called Golda shoes. And to this day, they say, oh, you know, my mom's wearing those Golda shoes. Isn't that marvelous?
That is wonderful.
So I'm hearing all these wonderful things from people that come and see the show. So I wanted it to be authentic, and I wanted to, and I knew a lot. I played a survivor before in the 80s in a movie for television, so I learned a hell of a lot about the camps and the horrible, you know, process that was put into place that actually Hitler helped bring Israel into being by the excess of his hatred and his diabolical intention. Suddenly the whole world said, you know what, the Jews do need a homeland. You know, Theodore Herzl in the late 80s, the 1880s, who said, you know, we really have to get home again after 2,000 years because we're catching hell everywhere.
And 3 years after World War II, they had officially their own homeland
that
for the first time.
That's correct.
My name is Rhoda Morgenstern. I was born in the Bronx, New York, in December 1941. I've always felt responsible for World War II. The first thing I remember liking that liked me back was food. I had a bad puberty. It lasted 17 years. I'm a high school graduate. I went to art school. My entrance exam was on a book of matches. I decided to move out of the house when I was 24. My mother still refers to this as the time I ran away from home. Eventually, I ran to Minneapolis, where it's cold, and I figured I'd keep better. Now I'm back in Manhattan. New York, this is your last chance.
Valerie Harper's most famous TV role, one of the great hit spinoffs in television history, Rhoda. For playing the character Rhoda Morgenstern, Valerie was nominated 8 times for an Emmy Award. She won 4 of them. She also won a Golden Globe Award and was named the Hasty Pudding Woman of the Year in 1975. What is that?
That was Harvard. It does a thing called the Hasty Pudding Review, and it's the boys got dressed up in drag. For years, this has been going on since Harvard began. What is it, you know, a century or two?
Uh-huh.
More than a century, for sure. Barbara Streisand was Woman of the Year. It was always women. Cher was Woman of the Year. I'm thinking of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
They picked somebody who was prominent and that they liked, and they came and honored you in Cambridge Square. There was mobs of people in a parade. It was great. Now they do Man of the Year as well. I think they're doing guys less since the 80s, but as well as women. But that it was just like a little wonderful, funny event.
Now, the Valerie Harper voice and the Rhoda Morgenstern voice are not the same.
No, not really, because she's from the Bronx and I'm not.
So whose voice were you doing? You were imitating somebody.
Rhoda talks like this and would have coffee, and Valerie just talks like this.
No, but I mean, where did you get Rhoda's voice from?
Oh, a couple of friends. I lived in New York, and I'm an actress, and I built the voice off of two people. One of them was from 116th Street. It was my stepmother. Who is gone now, unfortunately, Angela Pacilico, who was a Italian-American Manhattaner. I mean, really from the public school system and had her own sound. And the other was Penny, the woman I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband is Zvi Almog that helped me with Golda,
right?
Because he's Israeli. And she was from Brooklyn and had a very pronounced New York accent and an attitude. She happened to be Jewish. So the two of them, I love them dearly. They were close to me, and they were in my mind's ear, Paul. May I ask you where you got that? I always hear from radio stations, we couldn't find your theme. So they would play the Mary theme, which was Love Is All Around.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised and delighted to hear it. I haven't heard it in years.
My engineer, Kevin, went online and went to one of those mysterious websites that he goes to and found it. And it sounded to me like that was recorded off TV, like
probably,
30 years ago.
It was one or off a show. It was the credits every night.
Yeah.
Every night.
Right. I remember it vividly. I especially remember...
Rock, this is your last chance. Yes.
As we were playing it, since you haven't heard it in a while, were you remembering every word of it?
You know what struck me? I've always felt responsible for World War II. That is a riot, because here we're talking about World War II, and
yeah.
It was central in it.
Now, speaking of not being available, it's not on any TV theme song CDs that we have here, and it's not out on DVD. Why is there no Rhoda series DVD?
They just haven't done it yet. I think the market will bear that it will be done, because people love it, and
mm-hmm.
I think they've seen what they think will sell the best, and Mary was the original show, and they got that the first season. I think the second season might be coming out.
There are three of them out already.
Oh, there are?
Yes.
That's great. Well, Rhoda was much later. See, I was on Mary for four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're, you know, doling them out or making sure that they don't lose money on them. I think they're making fortunes on DVD.
When they came to you and said, we'd like to offer you your own show because your character is so popular, did you then get to choose who was going to be on your show? In other words, were you...
Well, they were wonderful about that, and I did readings with all kinds of people, wonderful actors and actresses for the different roles. But it, the first year... Freddie Silverman, who was in charge, he was the head of CBS at the time. He said, "Valerie, we're going to spin you off." And I thought I was being fired. I didn't even know the term.
Well,
and I said what? And then I finally later, and I said, "Oh no, I don't want him. I love it here. I'm just learning. I love Mary. I don't want to go." So it took 4 years to, you know, kind of. And then at that point, I said, "Mary, I don't know if I should do." She said, "Do you want to be my sidekick all your life?" And I thought to myself, I said, yes, you're adorable. But she said, come on, no. And we'll see you all the time and we'll cry. And then Nancy Walker was the other one. I said, Nancy, I don't know. I don't know if I can carry you alone. I said, all this stuff, a young actor carrying on. And she looked at me. She said, Sha, Valerie, it's a job. Take it. And that really brought it down to where the rubber meets the road. God bless Nanny. She's my third mother. I have my own mama, and then Angela, my stepmother, and then my darling mother for so many years, the incomparable Nancy Walker.
Now, you mentioned the word sidekick there, and a couple of years ago, Rhoda was named one of TV's all-time greatest sidekicks.
I think she is.
Did you think of her as a sidekick or part of an ensemble?
You absolutely are part of an ensemble, always. And in fact, what you have to come as an actor, in my view, is it's all about you. You bring your truth and your honesty and your reaction to it. But that's what acting is. You're working. It's one of those places where you work alone. You do your work. together. But the alone is small case letters, and the together is all capitals.
Did you ever get to a point after being Rhoda Morgenstern for so many years where you would say to a writer or a director one week, oh, Rhoda would never do that?
No. I would say Mary used to do it. She was incredible. She'd say, you know, I think this is a Rhoda line. And it would be a great joke.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys say, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, so we all would maybe have a slight input, but that show was so beautifully written, and we had such support from the writing staff to make it better and for us. They wrote to our strengths, of course, when they saw funny things happening. They would, you know, the characters developed and grew because the writers were so great, Paul.
Yeah.
I really think that was it. So we, I don't know as I ever did anything that's where I said, oh, geez, I don't want to do this. I remember one time they had written a thing about wearing a dress out for a date with the tag on and then returning it the next day. They didn't have Rhoda doing that. They had Brenda doing it. And Julie Kavner, much to her credit, said, you know, I think this is terrible. I don't like this. That's kind of theft. You know, to take a thing out. And she said, I also don't want the thing of, oh, you know, shyster Jews, you know.
Mm.
And I didn't see that at all, but she's Jewish, and she was right. And the writer said, oh, my God, yes, let's not do it if you're uncomfortable. But there, I can't even remember anything where I said, I can't. You always can do it. You can find a way to do it. They were open to it, but they just wrote it so beautifully.
Well,
but that's the one instance that I can remember, and the writer said, oh, my God, yes, okay, we'll write something else. And because they are so talented, it was the Fountain School of Writing. They weren't stuck on one joke or another, and I remember Alan Burns would say, we got to cut that joke, it's in the way of the scene. And the director would say, no, it's a good laugh. He said, no, but the scene's going one way, and we don't want to blow the characters out of the water, which you see so much today, Paul. You see a show, and it's just getting from one joke to another with some kind of strange, not even a plot in between. And it's kind of empty, and the audience knows it. They don't know why they aren't fulfilled, or they don't want to see it again. But that's the success of the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Valerie Harper is coming to St. Louis to do the one-woman show Golda's Balcony on the weekend of April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd at the Fabulous Fox. You can get tickets for KMOX listeners for the next 8 days only, and then they'll go on sale to the general public on Sunday the 26th. If you call MetroTix at 534-1111 or go to their website, metrotix.com/promotions, use the promotion code KMOX, and you can buy them today or tomorrow or next week before they go on sale to the rest of the general public. And Julie Lally, our friend over at the Fox, has given me a pair of opening night seats to go see Valerie do this one-woman show. And I'll give them to you on our contest line now, 314-969-1120. If you can tell me the movie that Valerie did with Michael Caine and Joe Bologna. Call me now, 314-969-1120. First one who knows it wins. And we're back with more with Valerie after this on the Paul Harris Show on KMOX. It's the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. Congratulations to Don Hilke from O'Fallon, who knew that movie that Valerie Harper did with Michael Caine and Joe Bologna was called Blame It on Rio, 1984. And who played your daughter in that movie?
Demi Moore.
Very young Demi Moore.
Yeah, a little young baby. It was one of her first movies, and she was very pretty then, and we had a great time in Rio. Michael Caine is one of the great professionals of the world, and Joe and I have worked together several times. We had a really good time.
That movie is one of my guilty pleasures. I got to admit it. We're looking forward to seeing you come to town to do Golda's Balcony in April. One last question for you before I let you go here. What's the difference? And I know you've done all sorts of things, stage, movies, theater. What's the difference between acting solo on stage and doing it in front of a three-camera sitcom situation?
Okay. I've done lots of plays, but I've also done a one-woman show before. The thing about working solo is that you have a wonderful relationship because you're talking directly to the audience much of the time. And then when you go into the scenes, what you need to rehearse is both sides, and not just glibly the voices, but to really feel. And when there's an argument, when Golda at 30 years old has a tremendous argument with her husband, I need to have the two different voices, but I also have to feel like Morris Meyerson. and where he wants his wife to stay home, and she's trying to say, I got to build a country. The switching is interesting, but it that's the challenge. But also the difference between sitcom, when you have an audience, it's very similar to theater because there's live people. So in both, what's really different, Paul, is a movie making like Blame It on Real, where you just have a camera and you don't have the live people there. You make it so immediate. It's never going to happen again the same way. I mean, you try to keep it consistent, of course, but it will be different every performance. Why? Because it's happening in real time. It's not a recording of something. It is the actual rubber meets the road reality right there with those folks. And the show is shaped by who's in the auditorium.
Valerie Harper, thanks so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Paul, thank you for your wonderful support of me and the show.